you're in the grand theme of things. The Logbook.com Soundtrack Mixtape Podcast is back with more selections, all centered around a single theme, a setting, similar plots, maybe something else, all from the realm of the fantastic and the futuristic. Something connects all the music you'll be hearing today. I'm Earl Green. Sit back and relax and enjoy a little bit of free association with music from movies, TV, and games. It's all in the grand theme of things. In the grand theme of things is back, and so is the Beam, baby. The Beam is back. Welcome to Volume 4 of what has proven to be one of the most popular themes this podcast has ever done, the Blaster Beam. The reason this has come about is because the Beam has reawakened. I've previously described the Beam as a Lovecraftian musical instrument, and it has risen back into pop culture like a great old one. Thanks to Bear McCreary digging up the Beam and utilizing it in the soundtrack of the movie 10 Cloverfield Lane. Bear McCreary, of course, came to public attention scoring the 21st century rethink of Battlestar Galactica, and scoring it beautifully, I might add. Since then, of course, he has done Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Walking Dead, Eureka, countless others. Bear McCreary not only brought back the Blaster Beam, he brought back its inventor and arguably its best player, Craig Huxley. Craig Huxley played the Beam in 1979's Star Trek The Motion Picture, and arguably what most people consider the instrument's best and most prominent outing. Here are selections from Bear McCreary's soundtrack from 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Thank you.
Some Blaster Beam Boogie for you there from 10 Cloverfield Lane, composed by Bear McCreary, featuring Craig Huxley on the Blaster Beam. Craig Huxley also plays the Blaster Beam on our next selection, but he's not the only special guest you'll hear this time around. I had almost forgotten this movie, and I certainly forgot that the beam was used in it. And so I had to go obtain the soundtrack and give it a listen. And lo and behold, yes, the beam is actually rather prominent. The music for Cat People was composed by Giorgio Moroder, who is fixed in a lot of people's minds as a disco producer and a synthesizer musician. That being said, the music from Cat People has a very organic sound to it. He did not use only electronic instruments here. As I mentioned before, Craig Huxley plays the Blaster Beam on this, and this was in the early 80s, and so this was kind of in the heyday of the Blaster Beam. The Blaster Beam was showing up everywhere. Because it had been on TV as early as 1978, and we'll talk about that later, because I played a TV selection with heavy use of the Blaster Beam in one of our previous Blaster Beam-themed podcasts, and I claimed that that might have been the instrument's first outing in a filmed medium, and I was wrong, but we'll get back to that later. We'll get back to that later. Here are selections from Cat People by Giorgio Moroder featuring Craig Huxley on the Blaster Beam. See if you can figure out before you get to the end of this suite, which, you know, actually kind of turns into a song with lyrics and everything, and the beam. See if you can figure out who the other special guest is who's playing on this, or actually singing. Here's music from Cat People.
Thank you. it's been so long. Feel my blood enraged. It's just the fear of losing you. Don't you know my name? Well, you've been so long, and I've been putting up fire with gasoline.
We've got
Music from Cat People by Giorgio Moroder, featuring Craig Huxley on the Blaster Beam and the late, great David Bowie. I mean, if anyone was going to be singing over the Blaster Beam and not being upstaged by it, you'd pretty much have to be Bowie. So there you go. Music from the soundtrack of Cat People. I can certainly appreciate that. I am Cat People. I am not a ladies man. I am a crazy cat ladies man. Moving on. Okay. In one of our previous, year or two ago, whenever this podcast started, one of the previous Blaster Beam installments, I played selections from an episode of The Bionic Woman, which very prominently featured the Blaster Beam, and pointed out that that episode had aired earlier in 1979 than Star Trek The Motion Picture was released. And it aired so early in 1979 that it must surely have been scored in 1978, in late 78, you know, as television production schedules go. However, I have found an instance of Blaster Beam that predates the Bionic Woman episode that I played music from before. What you're about to hear is simply the opening music from the 1978 TV adaptation of Doctor Strange. Now, the late 70s saw various studios and networks trying to exploit Marvel Comics characters in a way that seems, you know, almost tame in the current environment, where we have these tightly interlocked, you know, tightly plot connected movies and television series and Netflix series. But in 78, Marvel was really the hot property, and everyone was trying to adapt something of Marvel's for TV, with varying degrees of success. Arguably, the biggest success story out of all of that was The Incredible Hulk, starring Bill Bixby. However, that doesn't mean that other properties weren't given their shot. There was an adaptation of The Amazing Spider-Man, which is, I've watched some of it recently for the logbook, and it's a great big slab of cheese. But at least The Amazing Spider-Man was better than the two 1978 TV movies built around Captain America, which, you know, it's hard to whiff it with Captain America, because the basic story is so strong, and yet they totally fumbled the ball with Captain America on TV in 1978, which was on CBS. There were two TV movies, both of them very, very piloty. You know, you almost suspected that there was a subliminal message in there somewhere saying, please order a series of me. And CBS didn't bite. CBS did, however, commission a TV movie adaptation of Doctor Strange. The music for Doctor Strange 78 is by Japanese-American composer Paul Chihara, who had done the theme song, theme tune for the series Manimal. He scored Death Race 2000, The Bad News Bears Go to Japan, Penn and Teller Get Killed, and quite a few other things. He's also done music for stage productions, and he has done his own concert works. So he didn't just stick around waiting for the next soundtrack opportunity to pop up. However, he has taught film music, and some of his students have included the late, great James Horner and Joseph Trapanese, who was so instrumental in scoring, helping Daft Punk score Tron Legacy. Most of the actual score to this movie, this is another one where there is no released soundtrack, but the main titles are free of any voiceovers, and so I will just play this bit for you from the from the 1978 Doctor Strange TV movie. It's very beamy. And I don't know if this is Craig Huxley playing it or not, but you almost get the impression that I don't know if this movie had arrived after Star Trek the Motion Picture, I would be under the impression that someone had said, okay, you know all those weird noises that thing makes in Star Trek? Do all of those in the space of about a minute. Here are the opening credits from 1978's Doctor Strange. Opening credit music from the 1978 TV adaptation of Doctor Strange. Music was by Paul Chihara, and yeah, there's plenty of beam in there. There's not quite as much beam in our next selection. The movie Forbidden World was released in 1982, and it was Roger Corman's answer to the movie Alien. Now, famously, Forbidden World has two wildly different edits. There was an original edit, which oddly enough followed the original script, which was intended to partially make a spoof out of the movie. The idea was originally to make a spoof of Alien. Corman greatly disliked the humor element of that edit and just surgically removed it to try to make it a straightforward sci-fi horror movie. And, jury's out on that one. The music for Forbidden World was largely composed by Susan Justin, although Craig Huxley does get a co-composing credit on some of the tracks featuring the beam, and of course Craig Huxley is playing the beam. Here are selections from the exceedingly strange soundtrack to the 1982 Roger Corman movie, Forbidden World. Thank you.
Oh!
Music from The Forbidden World by Susan Justin and Craig Huxley. And that almost wraps up this fourth installment of Tales of the Blaster Beam. Except that I have one more little surprise for you. I recently had a couple of crazy idle thoughts, you know, the kind of thoughts you have when you're bored. Not really so much bored as you're too tired to actually be doing the things you're supposed to be doing. And you just kind of sit back and let your mind wander. And you have stupid ideas, arrive in your head like, hey, I should build my own blaster beam. A friend of mine did the math on this. And to build a blaster beam, you would probably have to splash out at least several hundred dollars just on the C-beam metal girder that forms the base of a blaster beam, because it's basically a C-shaped metal channel, usually aluminum. You put guitar pickups in it, so those have to be wired for both sound output and electricity. And you somehow find strings that can run the length of the thing, which the average blaster beam can run 15 to 18 feet. So probably not going to be building my own blaster beam. However, I was reminded of an experimental piece that I did myself. And, you know, if the basic rules of this podcast have not been completely broken already, if the basic rules of this podcast have not been completely thrown out the window by now, this will completely get rid of them, because this is not from a soundtrack of any kind. It's something that I did in 1992, and let me sort of explain the ingredients for this. You have a radio production studio, an extremely bored overnight DJ. You have a microphone mounted on a metal swing arm mic stand. You know, sort of the same sort of thing that you would have a lamp attached to, with the springs and so on. And then you drag a screwdriver, you set tape rolling, you open the microphone, and then you drag a screwdriver along those springs. And strangely enough, it sounds a lot like the blaster beam. So maybe instead of building my own beam, I just need to sample this thing I did in 1992 and save myself some money. Anyway, here's a little piece by me. My notes from the original cassettes that these came from. Note that this piece is called Pursuits. And this is not the blaster beam, and it's definitely not Craig Huxley. It's me farting around in a radio studio at about 2 in the morning in 1992... using a screwdriver to play percussion on the springs of the swing arm mic stand and the metal turntable, which is really not supposed to be used as a percussion instrument. I imagine they thought that people would be, I don't know, spinning records on it or something. Thank you. And so there you go. That's how you get a sound like the blaster beam without a blaster beam. I really need to get myself one of those mic stands now. I have a hankering for some beam, which means I should probably just rewind this podcast and listen to it again. Thanks for listening to In the Grand Theme of Things. We will be back yet again. And chances are that after another year or two, so will the beam. That's all for now. In the Grand Theme of Things, we'll return to the realms of the imagination with more movie, TV, and game music, all connected by a common theme. Just a reminder, all of the music you've heard is copyrighted by the respective composers, labels, and studios. Visit www.thelogbook.com/grandtheme for a listing of what you heard in this installment and links to purchase your own copies. Due to restrictions on file size and storage, what you've heard today was presented at a fairly low audio quality. By purchasing commercially available CDs or downloads, you can hear it even better. I strongly encourage you to support the labels that are taking the time and expense to remaster and reissue classic soundtrack music. They're making music available to which longtime movie and TV music fans have never dreamed of having access, and I hope you'll join me in supporting them. If you'd like to support In the Grand Theme of Things and other podcasts from thelogbook.com, such as Select Game and thelogbook.com's Escape Pod Daily Mini Podcast, drop by at www.thelogbook.com/grandtheme and click on the How You Can Help link. In the Grand Theme of Things is written, produced, and hosted by Earl Green.